Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to the Word of God. It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 to 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 to 17 is page 1398 in this black colored Bible. Might be different with red one, but it's 1 John chapter 2. So let me read from verse 1 to 17. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this, we know that we know him, if we keep his commandment. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this, we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him, ought himself also to walk, just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So, this 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 to 17, and we can divide this first part of chapter into two parts. The first one from verse 1 to 6, and it speaks about the conditions of fellowship with God. And the second part, it compares between true love and the worldly love, and it emphasizes us to follow true love from verse 7 to 17. And John starts with saying that we shouldn't sin. So it should be our goal. I sometimes find that people make excuse as they believe in Jesus that it is quite right to stay in sinfulness, but it shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should be sinless. We should seek for sinless life. But we also know that we can't be perfect, but we should be on the way to be on holiness. That should be our goal. But we also know that we've got advocate, according to verse 1, of Jesus, but it shouldn't be complacent, though. Our goal should seek for his holiness. But when we fail, Jesus always come and also be our advocate. So Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "Therefore, Jesus is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So Jesus is willing to make intercession for us, and it also says he tried to save to the uttermost. It's quite amazing to know that, yes, yeah, it's quite enough that Jesus does, but he says he will do his best to purify us, sanctify us to the uttermost. He promised to do his best of best to save us. So that's why we can always rely upon him and also be cleansed from our sinfulness by the pure blood of Jesus. I guess it's kind of like a coach who trained the athlete, and he chastened up the athlete, and he encouraged him or her. And when he or she fails, he comes to comfort him and give him strength and also show him the better way and guide him to be successful. So we should aim for our holiness, but there is also Jesus who is willing to save to his uttermost who come to God through Jesus. And verse 2, it says, "And Jesus himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." There's only one way to get saved, which is Jesus. There's no other way. But this way is open for everyone. So only through Jesus, but everyone welcome to join this salvation. And then verse 3 says, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandment." So he began to start what he really wants to say to us. And John said, if you want to claim that you know God, you have to keep his commandment. It doesn't mean we should show and earn our salvation by what we are doing. At the end of the day, we have to repent and believe in Jesus. But that belief should be faithful. That belief should be truthful. That even what you are doing should reveal what you really believe. We can claim anything, but we can't quite see what we really believe when we watch what we are doing in our daily lives. So that's why I believe John says, if we claim that we know Jesus, we have to keep his commandment. So our faith should be truthful, even in what we are doing. And verse 4 says, "He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." It's quite clear in terms of what John said here, that we really have to reveal what we believe by what we are doing in daily lives. I sometimes say from here that when you do in late evening, really show what you really believe. When nobody see you, when nobody watch you, you just reveal yourself and reveal what you really believe. And as we have genuine faith, we have to prove that we really believe in Jesus, even when nobody watches us and what we are doing. So in a way, yes, we should read the Bible every day and pray always and be a good witness to the kingdom of God, love, serve, and have fellowship with brothers and sisters, exercise justice and mercy by what we believe in. And that's the genuine faith John seemed to emphasize on this 1 John chapter 2. And we also agree, if you really believe in Jesus, you show your faith by what you are doing. Another thing I also want to point out is don't be late for the service. I also believe it's quite important to show our respect to God when we come to Him. I know whenever we have like appointment with doctors or even concert, we should be on time. Otherwise, you will miss the appointment and have to get through the system. And we at the end of the day, we are coming to living God who show our faith and respect and worship to Him. And I think it's right to be on time in our service. Anyway, verse 4, he continues, he says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. It even says when we exercise our faith, it says the love of God is perfected in us. It means this love of God is completed in us. And it's not only John. Jesus also says in John chapter 14, verse 21, so Jesus said, he who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves Jesus. And he who loves Jesus will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. So in a way, we complete our faith by what we are doing through faith in Jesus. We'll be perfected when we exercise our faith. And verse 7, it continues, it says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So it's quite a challenge for us. And yes, we say anything, but the main thing is whether we exercise what we claim. And I know it's not easy at all. And I'm going to speak about the love for brothers and sisters. And we also know it's not always easy to love others. But as we exercise our faith, it says the love of God is perfected, completed in us, and will be perfected when we exercise our faith. And verse 7 to 17, it speaks about the true love God commanded and worldly love here. So verse 7, it says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. So this commandment John speaks about is not new at all. It's from the Old Testament. It is even from the beginning. And the word doesn't change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, in a way, God had spoken the same language every time to us. And Jesus is not the one who introduced new teaching or new commandment. he simply fulfilled what God prophesied in the Old Testament and show us the real meaning of a commandment here. So John says he doesn't write about new commandment, but old commandment which we have had from the beginning. And also old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. If you go to chapter 3, verse 11 of 1 John, so it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." So there are three important elements in this teaching. The first one, we should repent and believe in Jesus. The holiness is our purpose, should be our aim. And the second one is we should love our God. At the end of the day, we simply can't achieve our holiness. That's why we need help from outside, which is Jesus. And he came to die for our sins, and he promised to give us his righteousness, perfect righteousness, through his blood. So only if we repent and believe in him, we can be saved. And the third one is we should exercise our love with each other. That's the way which we can show that we are born again and also be saved and have love of God, that we can be turner of his love. And if you just open Old Testament and look through like even Ten Commandments, you can easily understand why God gave us that kind of commandment. At the end of the day, love of God and also love of our brothers and sisters is the foundation of every commandment. So that's why John said it's not new commandment. It is old but still truthful commandment for you. But verse 8, he speaks about new commandment here. So he says, "Again, a new commandment I write to you, and the true light is already shining." I rather say it's not new in the sense of new, different from old. It's kind of whole and intact commandment. Jesus' true light shines its light upon us and also upon the Word of God, that the truth will be fully revealed and God's will as well to us. So we didn't understand quite well, and we didn't quite understand how we can achieve the holiness. But true life, true light himself, he came to show us his perfect light, that we fully understand what it means by loving him and also loving each other. And we even have ability to achieve his commandment by our faith in Jesus. We've got Holy Spirit who enables us to achieve this commandment now. And then 1 John chapter 2 from verse 12 to 14, he gives us a kind of command to three different generations. The first one is to children. I don't think he speaks about physical age, but he speaks about spiritual age. Whether you're young or old, you have to be born again. And when you are born again, even though you might be old, you are babies in terms of this spiritual age. And you have to advance in your faith and grow. You might feel it can be quite late, but at least you can start, and you have to grow in your faith. So verse 12, he speaks to children, and it says, children, your sins are forgiven you. And verse 13, he speaks to children again, and he says, children, you have known the Father. So as you are born again, you are children in terms of spiritual age, and children is supposed to find salvation and Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus. And Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We used to be enemies of God. We are in bondage to, in a way, devil. And we are servant and also bounded by the worldly enemy. But as we are released and as we are born again, we become God's sons and daughters. And we've got this childrenship in us. And we can even cry out, Abba, Father, to our God. Some of you have children, and when children demand something, they don't care much about like my financial situation or other problems. They just come and ask what they want. I heard about one young boy. They lost their belongings in the airport, and his father, who is pastor, he began to pray with all sorts of theological claims. He prayed that God knows everything, God knows where their belonging is, so please guide us to find these belongings, he prayed. But when his son prayed, it's very simple. He said, please give us these belongings. We simply can't enjoy our holiday. You have to give us. And then next day they found their belongings. And we have Heavenly Father who has everything and better than our enemies. And there is no other God. We can always come to his presence to ask for anything. And he will answer according to his plan. So it says, as we are born again, our sins are forgiven as children, and we also have known the Father. And verse 13 is second generation, who is a young man, and it says, you have overcome the wicked one. And verse 14, young man, because you are strong, and the word of God abide in you. So young man is supposed to be strong in God, and also willing to take up spiritual battle. At the end of the day, we know every battle belongs to God. And he already won over this battle. And he's willing to give us this victory. And so that's why we have to be strong and willing to take this battle. It can be quite severe, but we know that we already won this battle. Sometimes find children or young men, when they claim that they believe in Jesus, they don't seem to be quite strong or bold. But you have to be. You know the truth, even though you are young. And you know the Father who knows everything and also loves us and cares for us. So You have to be bold, and you have to be light and salt in this world. And you are the ones who take this battle and give glory to God. Interesting thing is, when it says they should be strong, verse 14, it says, the word of God abide in you. Whenever I read the Bible, this is the one we should stick to. Without this word of God, you shouldn't be strong. And you can't be strong. This gives us our strength and boldness and everything which belong to God. So as the word of God abides in young men, they are strong. And verse 13, it speaks to fathers, and it says, you have known him who is from the beginning. So John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in a way, as you get older, you are mature in your faith, and you begin to understand the whole story of the Bible. So as you become young men and even fathers, you begin to know God who is from the beginning. I think it speaks about knowing God's prudence in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. That is like God's whole work, plan, administration, stewardship, or dispensation upon the earth. So, in a way, you are able to teach and guide and help other people from your knowledge. So, whether you are children, young men, or fathers, in terms of spiritual age, we should grow. And we should do what we are supposed to according to our spiritual age. But there is another different love. According to verse 15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James chapter 4, verse 4, gives us quite strong warning. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, make himself an enemy of God. In a way, there's no middle ground between world and God. You should choose either world or God. You simply can't have one foot in this side and the other foot and the other side. And he says, you are either enemy of God or children of God. So it strongly recommend not to love the world. And then verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. If you turn on TV and watch a bit, you easily find everything from the world belong to these three categories. It is either lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Do you know what? When Satan attempt to tempt Eve in Genesis, he tried these three. And these are very common temptation against us, and they all belong to the world. I do believe we should enjoy our life, but our focus shouldn't be on the world. It should be on eternity. It should be on heaven. So verse 17, as a conclusion, it says, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. It's the difference of perspective. If you really believe in heaven and eternity, we wouldn't stay in the world. We would focus on eternity and seek for this eternal kingdom. So my question for you today is, what is your focus and aim? We are facing New Year, and we simply can't know what's going on with everyone's lives. Yes, we can pretend to be good Christians when we come to the church and pretend to like be friendly with each other. But at the end of the day, God knows everything in your heart. And we should be accountable to what we believe or what we are doing here. And we believe in this heaven and eternity and judgment. We should live our life in holiness and seek for his kingdom first. Okay, so shall we pray? Father, we thank you for giving us your word to give wisdom and even salvation. We also thank you for sending us your only begotten Son to suffer and die on the cross, to give us your perfect righteousness, to cleanse us from our filthiness. So we are coming to your presence again to have forgiveness and also your loving kindness only through Jesus. As you say in your word, it is open for everyone. So as we pray, if there's anyone who doesn't have this faith in Jesus, we pray that you welcome them and invite them to your kingdom. As we are born again, you also want us to focus on eternity and this heavenly realm. We therefore, as we close this year and face new year, we pray that you renew your promise and give us your strength and boldness that we might keep seeking for your kingdom. As a church, we thank you for your blessing, protection, and your guidance this year. We also pray, as this world is darkened than before, you give us your strength and also your guidance that we might be true light and salt in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.